Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who bids all of us to come to him for real rest for our souls, dear fellow redeemed. Most all of us had an extra day off of work this week since Good Friday, or since July 4th was a Friday. I kept thinking on Friday that it was Saturday and needed to get ready for church. So we really had two Saturdays this week. Day of rest and relaxation. But did you really? I'm sure there are still things to do around the home. You've already still had your aches and pains, things that you did. And even if you did just do nothing and lied around on Friday and enjoyed it, it was very short. Well, our text this morning, our Savior offers us a rest, not of a temporary nature, a rest of permanent nature, a rest for our souls. But the offer is very strange. He says, come to me, and I will lay a yoke on you. What a gift. A yoke. Probably most of us never seen a yoke in person. Maybe Dwayne did. A yoke is that piece of wood that goes around oxen, and they pull a cart or pull a plow. We've maybe seen it in TV or movies or maybe in a magazine. In the third world countries, people have yokes over their shoulders where they maybe carry water. It's an instrument of burden, instrument to carry and bear things. So why would Jesus say, if you're burdened and you're heavy laden and you're wearied and worn out, here, here's a yoke for you and you'll have rest. That's like your boss saying, hey, take the day off. Oh, by the way, here's a pile of files that's due tomorrow. Well, Jesus is really using a play on words here to make sure that the people get his attention and that his invitation is a memorable one. The Jewish people were burdened by a yoke, a burden of the law. They were enslaved by their sins. And that law reminded them every single day, and all the ceremonies reminded them every day of the burden of the law that was on their heart. In fact, the burden of sin was called the yoke in Lamentations. The yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. This burden of the law, which revealed an even more grievous burden of sin, gave no rest and no peace to the children of Israel. So is Jesus talking about giving to the heavy laden and burdened the yoke of the law? The yoke of their sin? Of course not. He's talking about the yoke of the gospel. The yoke of all that he has done for us out of love. And this yoke is made especially for each one of us. And that's why it's so personal. Our theme this morning is this. Jesus has a yoke just for you. And there's three points. First of all, We see that this yoke is designed for babes in Christ. We see this yoke is given only to us by Jesus. We see what a joy it is to wear this yoke. Our text begins with the words, at that time. So at what time is Matthew talking about? Well, at that time was the disciples had been sent out two by two throughout Galilee to bring the good news to the lost sheep of Israel that the Savior had come. The Messiah was here in the person of Jesus Christ. At that time meant also that John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus whether he was the Messiah or not. At that time also was after Jesus had performed many miracles and proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. How did people respond? Most of them didn't. They were indifferent. They didn't really care. Others were filled with anger and hatred toward the Lord, and they began to persecute Jesus. So Jesus went throughout Galilee, and he was denouncing them for not hearing the good news of salvation and not seeing in his miracles that he was the Son of God. But did Jesus then go away upset, angry, feeling sorry for himself? Not at all. In fact, instead, we see him praising his Father. He praises his Father for the yoke that he lays upon the babes in Christ. The yoke of the gospel of forgiveness of sins that is given through conversion. Even though natural man's inclination is always to reject and not believe, God has been able through the Holy Spirit to enlighten the unbeliever, to convert the wayward, and to regenerate and quicken the spiritually dead. In our text, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Man's reason, man's wisdom, man's intelligence prevents him from seeing what Jesus has revealed about the Heavenly Father. Those who pride themselves in being clear thinkers, open-minded to all ideas, able to fathom the deep mysteries of this world, able to reach back into the past and see where we came from, they're the ones that are really blind. The Bible says, these things of God are hidden from them. Why? Because in their exalted wisdom, they deny God's existence. In their scientific intelligence, they try and disprove Jesus' miracles and God's creation. In their reason, they make themselves out to be the saviors and gods of this world. And these atheistic evolutionists and these unbelieving philosophers have indeed a large following of disciples. But not all. There are some who have had faith worked in their hearts. There are some who crave the spiritual milk, who just desire to eat and to drink from God's word, not man's wisdom or man's intelligence. These babes in Christ marvel and delight and cling to God's revealed truth. These babes in Christ, simple believers like you and me, have had this yoke of the gospel laid upon our hearts from the time we were baptized, through our Sunday school years, and our confirmation, and every day of our lives. That beautiful yoke of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. We've tasted the goodness of our Savior's great sacrificial love for you and for me. God's children don't need to take an IQ test, because God says it's pleased the Lord to reveal these deep mysteries of his love in Christ to the spiritually simple and the spiritual infants. It's God's goodness and love for us, not our wisdom, not our intelligence, not our own goodness, which is the source of our salvation. So instead of wringing our hands and getting so upset and all bummed out because there are people turning away from the Word of God, and they don't come and hear God's Word, we need to rejoice. Rejoice in our Heavenly Father that anyone believes. For faith is indeed a gift of God. It is that yoke that has been designed just for babes in Christ. In the second part of our text, we see that it's a yoke that only Jesus can give to us. We read in verse 27, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." All things have been revealed to us through Jesus. It's the Word. He's the Word. Therefore, he holds the exclusive rights to reveal to this world who God is, what God has done for us, and how we have been saved. How arrogant and prideful people to search for God by looking within themselves. Or to search for God by looking at the universe. Or to search for God by looking in the Word, but then using their own intellect, their own reason to interpret it, or to reason it out, or to explain it. Do you want to know what God thinks? And feels? And does? And plans? And promises? And there's one source to look to Jesus. And to those he's authorized to reveal him and God to us through the Spirit. And that's his apostles and prophets. It's in his Word. And the really neat thing is that Jesus has also authorized you and me to reveal that same mystery, that same Word about our triune God that loved us so much that he created us, that loved us so much that the Father sent his Son to die for us, that loved us so much that the Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts for us. It's Jesus who calls you and me to call to our best friends, our neighbors, our close relatives, our fellow workers, our business associates, and say, come and see Jesus. Come and hear what he has to say to you. And come and see what he has done for you. Come and find out how light that yoke is that Jesus will place upon your heart. In this section of our text, Jesus uses the word know, K-N-O-W, twice. He says, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. That word for know means a knowing by experience. It's the kind of experience that comes with and belongs to a relationship. It's an intimate knowledge of one another. The kind of intimate knowledge that a husband and wife has for each other after so many years of living together. Or that a little baby has for his mother. It's not like knowing a stranger's name or even knowing your neighbors. It denotes a special relationship that's present. The Father knows the Son so well that he was willing to go to the cross, willing to have himself be damned out of love for his Father. And he knows the Father so much that he wanted to proclaim to all the world who this Father was, to tell the whole world that the Father is the loving Creator of heaven and earth. And the Father knows his Son so well that he knew he could trust his Son with the salvation of mankind. He could lay this burden upon his Son and his Son would accomplish it. And he knows his Son so well that he said to us, this is my Son whom I love. Now you listen to him. In that relationship knowledge of knowing one another, we also have when we come to faith in Jesus Christ and know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's not based on feelings or emotions. It's based on facts. On God's love for us, on Christ's sacrificial offering of his body and blood for us, and his resurrection. It's on who he is, and what he has done for us. That's all part of this yoke that Jesus lays upon our hearts. The last part of our text is, What a joy it is to wear this yoke. But first of all, before Jesus can lay this yoke of his love upon our hearts, we need to know that we're the ones who are the heavy burden and the heavy laden and the wearied. Not because we're working 10 or 12 hours a day, or because we've been out in the sun, or working in a factory, or even because we're burdened with problems and cares this life, but because of our sins. Every time we look into the law burdens us. Every time we take a good look at ourselves and see how we have done in our living for Christ, we are burdened by our sins, and it's a heavy yoke that lays upon our hearts. What a terrible yoke to wear. And that's why this morning, shortly after the first hymn, we began our worship with a confession of our sins. We came before our Heavenly Father, and we said that we poor, miserable sinners have offended our Lord and deserve nothing but his temporal and eternal punishment. And then we called out to him and said that we are sorry for our sins from our heart. We repent of our sins and turn to the boundless mercy of our God for the sake of our Savior's holy, innocent suffering and death. We beg for his mercy and his grace upon us poor, miserable sinners. And what did we hear? We heard the best news of all. The news of God's grace, that he loves us. And he said that our sins were forgiven in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of our triune God. Wow. What a yoke. What a yoke to bear. What a joy to wear this yoke of our Savior, forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ Jesus. Jesus said this yoke is easy and this burden is light. It's that new covenant relationship between us and our Savior. We're bound to him now. We're tied to him. We're yoked to our Savior, Jesus Christ, never to be unyoked again. So Jesus now is number one in our heart. No longer will we be selfish in our service, but selfless in our service to him and to others. We love him because he first loved us. We are committed and yoked to him because he yoked himself to us when he came into this world and took our place to be our substitute. What a joy it is to wear this yoke of our Savior's love for us and the great rest we have in Christ. Our yoke is not a burden. It's a joy to wear and to serve Jesus Christ. Our rest in Christ is removing that burden of our sins and learning from him that he picks us up and carries us on eagle's wings. Oh, that everyone would come to see Jesus and know and experience from him that beautiful yoke. This is a joy to wear. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.